Our Father and our God, we thank you again for a beautiful sunshiny morning. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your creative genius in the seasons that we enjoy. Just a week ago, the ground was covered with 6 or 8 inches of fresh snow. Now this morning, the sun is shining. This week is going to be a beautiful week. And we just thank you again, Father, for your creative goodness. Thank you for the sunshine today. Thank you, Father, for being with each and every person through this week. Some have had a tough week. There have been surgeries. There have been positive COVID tests. There have been fevers and headaches and body aches and illnesses. There have been difficulties in school and in life. And yet, Father, you have walked with us every moment of every day. We give you praise. We give you praise, O God, for America, knowing that in 2 days, millions will go to the polls and vote for many, many positions. We commit that to you this morning, Father, and ask for your will to be done. We ask, Father, that men and women of God, men and women that respect life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness would be elected. Men and women that look to your word for guidance. Oh, we commit this election to you, O God. Father, I want to pray this morning for those in our family, in our church family here, and our communities with COVID-19. Every day there's new positives. Every day there's more sick people. Some are very, very sick, Father. I mentioned already, and you know this better than I. People are in St. Cloud Hospital, Brainerd Hospital, Staples Hospital, from our communities with COVID-19. Father, please strengthen them and encourage them. Those that are at home trying to recover and quarantined, like us, Father, help them to recover. Help us to breathe freely and help us to feel your strength in healing. Oh, I pray, oh God, for those that are vulnerable that might get this. I just pray, protect them, Father. Please watch over them, strengthen them, and draw us through this chapter that we found ourselves in. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are recovering from surgeries. I just ask that you'd lift them up, that we would lift them up, and you would heal. You would grant them healing. And for those that may need surgeries in the near future, touch them and encourage them and guide them in their process too. Father, I pray for our students today. Some schools have now shut down again. Some students are doing virtual learning. Some are doing a hybrid learning. Some in college are doing the same thing. Father, we lift them all up to you and ask, be with each and every one. Our teachers, our students, our school administrators, help them to know the right things to do. Father, I pray for our farmers. A lot of them are still trying to get their crops out of the field. Thank you for this week ahead of us. It looks like a wonderful opportunity to gather in the harvest. Father, I thank you for the church. We're also supposed to be about gathering in the harvest. And just because we can't meet in a physical building doesn't mean the church isn't still the church. Use us, O God, in everyday living, in our circumstances, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Every day, loving our neighbors, ministering to them, helping them along life's journey. Father, we need you. We need you in America. We need you in our homes. We need you in our schools, our businesses. We need you in our churches. Oh God, revive your church. Save the lost. Revive your church, Father. Save our lost friends, neighbors, family members. Father, we're not trying to suggest we're better than anybody else, but if we have been born of God, we're on the narrow road that leads to life. And folks that haven't been born of God aren't on the narrow road. They're on the broad road that leads to destruction. Help us in the church to be aware of that and love those neighbors right into the kingdom. And so as we gather this morning, Father, for a little while, quiet our minds, quiet our hearts in the beauty of this day, in the busyness of the season, in the affliction of our bodies, and help us to focus on you and worship you, our living God, and trust you, Lord Jesus, our Savior and Lord, and be led by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for all those watching today. Thank you for other churches that are gathering. Some are doing it virtually, some are in person. May the name of Jesus be lifted up, and may you, our Father in heaven, you who are seated on the throne, may you be glorified in and through it all. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, if you're just joining us, I just want to welcome you and thank you for joining us on this beautiful November Sunday morning. I'm going to give you a little update first, and then we're going to look at some scripture and just worship this way together. Let me have a swig of my Propel, then we'll look at some updates first. What a difference a week has made. Last Sunday, as we come together, we were worshiping and rejoicing and fellowshipping and all together in one accord, as the Bible says about the disciples many times. And things quickly changed as we realized that someone, and perhaps several someones in our worship service last week, was diagnosed with COVID-19. I told you this already, I don't need to reiterate it all. That person didn't know it, it's nobody's fault, but at least one, and maybe more, had COVID in our midst last Sunday. And so as the week began to unfold, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, others began to get sick. Others began to have the symptoms. And by midweek to later week, more and more people were going to be tested. And as it turns out, more and more of us are finding out we are in fact positive with COVID-19. And so what does that mean? It means several things. Number one, as I've heard from a lot of you in the last 48 hours, there's a lot of people affected. There's people in adult classes that are sick today. There's people that are just in the sanctuary, in both services, that are sick and have been diagnosed with COVID today. And so, I don't know how all this stuff happens. Only the Lord knows. All I know is a lot has happened, and a lot of us are affected. And so that's why we find ourselves in this situation today. Some in our church family that were tested earlier in the week and tested positive have already been contacted by the CDC. And so I suspect the CDC will contact more of us that have tested positive. And based on some of the questions that they ask those that tested positive, like what church you go to and who's the pastor, I expect we're going to hear more from the CDC. So we're going to work our way through this. We're going to keep trusting in the Lord and ask Him to heal all of you that are hurting now and may still get it in the days ahead. And those family members that are maybe on the bubble now, not sure if they got it or not, we're just going to ask the Lord to keep guiding us through this. One of the things we do know, actually we know several things. This has become a very serious situation, because it's quite broad, quite a bit broader than I would have thought midweek. I've heard from a lot of people the last 2 or 3 days, and so it's a lot broader than I thought. And because it's broader than I thought and affecting more than I thought, not only have we shut down the church for the last few days, we're going to need to do that for the next few more. And so there's not going to be any church activities this week in person at all. We're not going to even gather next Sunday. We're going to have to do it this way for another Sunday. And I know some of you will be thinking already, you'll be thinking negatively and probably check out, turn the thing off. But I'm just here to tell you, we're not having these because there's a lot of people affected. You may or may not know the details. That's not necessary. I know them. Some of our board knows them. Our superintendent knows them. And so we're calling off all activities through the next week to 10 days also. Lots of our praise team has already tested positive. People that sat throughout the sanctuary have tested positive. All of us that are paid staff have had symptoms this week. I've tested positive. Others have tested. And so there's a lot of us affected. And so at least for a while, and we'll keep you posted, at least for a while, there'll be no in-house activities. Probably at least till Tuesday or Wednesday the following week. We're just praying that God helps us work our way through this and see what's happening by that time. We will reopen for activities as soon as we can. But as I mentioned to you in the in the voicemail earlier this week, this just challenges us. We need to do all we can to keep other people safe. We're trying to spray down the sanctuary and stuff between services. We've got to be very diligent about those things. Wiping down doorknobs and tables and spraying down chairs. We've got to be very diligent about these things so we don't inadvertently pass it on to some people. Some people are going to get much sicker than I am. Sherry and I and Christian, we don't feel so good. But some people are going to get much, much sicker. And so it behooves us to clean properly, to disinfect properly, to use hand sanitizers, and when we can, we should be wearing our masks. And so, I know that's a turn-off to some people, but what concerns me is we've got our loved ones coming to church, we want to worship, we come in contact with COVID, nobody's fault, we go home, we infect somebody, and it's going to be devastating. And so, we need to do what we can. You say, Jim, well, we're going to die anyway. That's true. But I'm not going to encourage you to go out on the highway and play a game of chess. This is the same thing. We've got to take precautions. We've got to use our head. We've got to be smart and sensible about these things. So we're going to reopen, and we're going to do it as safely as we can. And hopefully we're going to learn from this, and we're going to trust the Lord to not only get us through, but that people will come to know Jesus and the church will experience revival. Let's move on now. Today I'm going to talk to you about what's at stake in America on this Tuesday. And I know I should have done this a couple weeks ago, but I was finishing up my series and Charles was speaking last week. I thought everything would be normal today. And so anyway, here's where we're at. I want to talk about what's at stake here for America. I'm going to share a little scripture. I'm going to do some quoting from the Decision magazine. And I'm just going to lay some things out here for us before we go to the polls. Now, I realize some of you probably already gone to the polls. And some of us that are under quarantine, we're going to have to get real, real creative. But I'm just speaking today. There is a great cost at stake here for America at this election. And so I'm going to talk about that today. After that, I've already got a plan. I'm going to talk some about the last days. I believe we're in the last days, and a lot of people a lot smarter than I am believe we are too. Not that I know everything. Sometimes I don't know if I know anything, especially about the last days. But I'm going to speak to the last days after this Sunday for a while. And so, knowing that some of you have already voted, I'm just speaking, I guess, to all of us in general for enlightenment, but knowing that many of us still have the chance to vote. I'm going to quote from some articles in the Billy Graham Decision magazine. I'm going to give credit to where credit is due. And so a lot of this information I say to you over the next 15, 20 minutes is not new per se, but we as Christ followers need to understand what is at stake here. There's a lot at stake. We need to be aware of that. If you happen to get your hands on a October 2020 Decision magazine, I would encourage you to get your hands on it and read it. It's very informative, it's very helpful, very useful, and so I would encourage you, if you can find one online or hard copy, read it. Even though the election's only 2 days away, be informed. I'm going to start with three pieces of scripture, and I'll tell you why I picked these three pieces of scripture. It's going to seem like they have no connection whatsoever, but I'm going to tell you why I picked these three, and then we're going to move forward. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 139. These are the words of David. Psalm 139, a few words in verses 13 to 16. Let me say this while you're turning there. In case you see some flashing on your screen, it's because the sun is moving a little bit with time, shining through our windows a little differently, perhaps affecting the camera just a little bit. So bear with us. We're trying to work with some of that glare and trying to give you a quality picture here as we worship together. Psalm 139, David said this, I'm at verse 13. He's saying to God, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." Verse 15, my frame, he's talking God. David wasn't no biology major. He didn't probably understand a great deal about the embryo, but the Holy Spirit of God was impressing upon him these things. And look at what he writes. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. David knew enough about God through the Holy Spirit's teaching and impressing upon him that God knows us in the womb. He knows all about our days. Look at what he said. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they're all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. Friends, I share these verses today to remind us of the importance of life. Even life in the womb. That's important to God. The Bible is clear about that. God knows us in the womb of our mother. He knows the days that lie before us. Life is of God. And I think you know this, that we have gotten so politically divided. But one of the issues, I'll talk about just three of them briefly today, is the right to life. One side is trying to protect the unborn. You need to know the difference. One side is not. I will tell you more about that in just a little bit. Let me share some more scriptures. This one comes from Ephesians 5. If you've got your Bible, flip back to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5. I could have picked 100 verses talking about the family because the Bible is full of it. I just picked this one because it just so spotlights husbands, wives, children. Ephesians 5, 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. This is Ephesians 5:31. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That comes from the very words of God. Back in Genesis chapter 2, the last couple of verses, God speaks that. Jesus reiterates it in Mark. Paul reiterates it again in the letter to the Ephesians. He's talking very specifically here of this family unit. This family unit is God's design. A husband being joined to his wife and in time having children. This is of God. And then we go to Ephesians 6. We see the children factored in there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. We see all these topics addressed by the Apostle Paul. And I picked this simple little set of verses because how it describes the family. And let me say this before I go any further. I know there are single moms. I know there are single dads. I know there are grandparents raising children. I know all that. But I am just telling us, in the biblical context, God designed a man, a woman. He said, be fruitful and multiply, to have children. That's God's design. That's God's intention. I know there's lots of other things. But what I'm telling you is God had an intention. He had a plan. We have one political side today that is trying to dismantle that nuclear family. One that is trying to preserve it and one that is not. You need to know the difference. As followers of Jesus, we need to be able to understand who stands for what. One more set of verses, and then I'll elaborate a little bit on those verses. This one comes back from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. You know the verse, whether you turned there or not. You know the verse as well as I do. Here's what it says. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. I share this verse to remind us of what God created intended from the very beginning, friends. Males and females. You know where I'm going with this. This has become a great divide. And we as followers of Jesus should understand who stands for what. So why do I refer to these verses? Let me just say this. These verses, as well as multitudes more, describe biblically answers to these discussions that we're having today, to these challenges that we're having. The Bible answers the questions to our discussions. And so that's why I share these three random scriptures today, to give us some insight about these three topics. Let me elaborate that on that a little further. You know this, I'm sure, but let me just say this. It appears in America, politically for sure, and tragically sometimes even in the church, we're not sure of the importance and the value of life in the womb. Tragically, we're not sure about that anymore. It appears, politically for sure, and sometimes in the church, we're not sure of the God-intended design for the family. Also, it appears, we are not sure anymore that there are only males and females. We seem to be quite confused about all of these things. And friends, when you start to look at, read, listen to, and understand the political sides, they are very, very clear in these matters. One is trying to preserve the intentions of the scriptures. One is not. I am not saying every person on one side is Christian, every person on the other is not. I'm not saying that, but they have taken clear sides. We as followers of Jesus need to understand that. It's going to get worse after Tuesday if we don't. Let me speak to what I mean by that. Here's a quote from the Decision Magazine, October 2020, and I quote, on November 3rd, Americans will choose between two starkly opposing visions for this nation. The implications for Christians are momentous, affecting religious liberties, the sanctity of life, the family, the courts, international religious freedom, and more. The outcome will affect the ability of churches and Christian organizations to operate according to biblical teaching and pursue the Great Commission. End quote. Now you might say to me, Jim, no way. That's an exaggeration. Friends, let me just ask you to think briefly, if you know some things about your history. When it says we've got two starkly opposing visions, and the outcome on Tuesday is going to affect the ability of churches to do what we've always done, let me ask you to think about communist China today for a minute, or communist Russia, or Cuba, or Venezuela. These statements are true. The outcomes of these kind of elections will affect the ability of the churches and Christian organizations to keep operating like we have been or not. Allow me to say this also from the Decision magazine. Dr. Al Mohler, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, said this regarding the unborn. And I quote, "Protecting and respecting human life is the baseline responsibility of our government. But our two parties represent two diametrically opposed worldviews when it comes to human life and abortion. One party is committed to respect and defend life in the womb. The other is determined to support and defend abortion as an unconstitutional right." Friends, listen to me. I could read you 100 stories regarding those who will go to great lengths to defend the need for abortion. I'll only mention one. I mentioned this before last January. Do you recall the scene last January when the New York legislators, together with their governor, cheered and celebrated the signing of a new bill that allowed abortion right up to the time of delivery? Yes, they throw in the words, in viable situations. But do you see what's happening? Do you see what's happening? Life in the womb is not valuable to one side. Life in the womb is not valuable even when the baby can be born and live completely on its own. Life is not valuable to one side. That said, they made this decision even in a botched abortion attempt. If the baby is born alive, don't render aid. Let the baby die. Do you see what's happening, brothers and sisters? This is one side of the political aisle. We need to be informed which side is which. And let me say this to those that say, Jim, I can't vote on one matter about life. Friends, listen to me. If the life of a baby that can live outside the womb has no rights, according to this political side, then how much longer are you and I going to have any rights? These rights have been removed from these babies. And if they've been removed, how much longer is it going to be till yours and mine are removed? This is a big issue. We may not think it is, but it's a huge issue. Let me speak to a couple more before I wrap this up. Regarding the family, Dr. Mohler said this, "One side in our great divide resists the hostility towards the family. The other side wants to liberate humanity from the constraints of the natural family. The future of the family is at stake in this election." I know that sometimes if you haven't been listening to conservative or in Christian radio and broadcasts and haven't been reading Christian magazines, you probably think this is so far-fetched it's unbelievable. But friends, one side is trying to dismantle the family. One side is trying to preserve it. The same side trying to kill babies in the womb. legalizing, letting them die when they've been born alive, is the same one trying to dismantle the family as we describe and see in the Word of God. Let me speak to one more topic regarding human sexuality and gender. And I quote from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association magazine, "Marriage has been redefined. Morality has been revolutionized, and the order of human relations has been turned upside down. The most radical front of this revolution is the transgender movement. It has now demanded the rejection of gender binary. Let me step aside from the quote. I'm still quoting. What does that mean? The transgender movement has demanded the rejection of the notion there's only males and females. This is sweeping through America. Let me continue the quote. We are becoming a society of total confusion about what it means to be human, male and female. The movement to deny biological and human nature is progressing with unbelievable speed. One side in our political divide is enthusiastic about pushing this revolution and using the coercive power of government to advance it." End quote. The reason I read to you Genesis 1:27, friends, God knew what He was doing when He created man in His image. God knew what He was doing when He created biologically and divinely a male different from a female. I don't need to tell you, it's the devil. The enemy of our souls is the one trying to confuse everybody. The enemy of our souls is the one who's trying to pervert this good design of God, trying to destroy what God has intended for good. Let me say this, I think you know this, but the same party that is cheering and high-fiving the opportunity to murder the unborn even up until the day of delivery is the party all for gender reassignment and gender fluidity. Friends, listen to me a second. I could read you another 100 stories about this, the tragedies of some of this, the decisions that are being made, the statements that are being made from the very highest positions in the land. But on this whole transgender subject, we are losing our collective minds. I'll give you one really, really brief story. It happened just last week. I read about it earlier this week. Biological male right here to our neighbors in the north in Canada is suing a beauty pageant. Showed up there, filled out the application, said he relates as a female, but he's clearly a male. With all the male parts and everything, he's suing the beauty pageant because they won't let him be in the beauty pageant with young ladies. Friends, we've lost our collective minds. And one side of the aisle is pushing this agenda and this dynamic. We need to understand the difference, the cost. What's at cost? What's at stake here for Christians and morality and just plain common sense? We need to understand what's at stake. May I say this before I wrap up? We, as Christ followers, want to come alongside those who are struggling with gender fluidity thoughts. We need to come alongside them and help them understand they are made in the image of God. They are important to them, to Him. If they are born a male, then they are important to God as a male. If they're born a female, they are important to God as a female. We as a church need to come alongside these friends struggling and encourage them. Do not allow the world and the ways of the world to squeeze you into its mold that is trying to squeeze so many people into today. We in the church need to come alongside those who are struggling post-abortive or are thinking about abortion. We need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus in all of these situations, friends. I'm not saying that at all. We need to love. We need to display the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ. What I am saying is there is a very clear distinction, politically speaking, and we as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ need to know the difference. We need to be prayed up. We need to be informed, and we need to vote for people that are following along the guidelines, the directives that the Scripture gives us. I could go on and on, friends, but I don't need to, about the endless possibilities of difficulty for our nation and for us as Christians. I'm simply saying we need to be informed. We need to pray. We need to vote. Be informed of what Scripture says. Be informed of what people stand for. Be informed of what people stand against, and we should vote accordingly. Let me say this, I'm going to wrap it up in just a minute. No individual, not a president, not a priest, not a pastor, not a pope, not a Supreme Court justice of the United States, no individual is the answer for America's problems today. Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. But I am telling you, one side clearly stands more aligned with biblical principles than the other. I'll say that again, then I'll elaborate. One side, when we do our research, when we look, when we pray, when we understand and discern, one side of the political aisle clearly stands more aligned with these things I've just shared with us, the biblical principles, than the other. I am not saying that every individual on the right is perfectly with God and every individual on the left is perfectly not. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying, politically speaking, there is a clear side that is aligned with what we know to be true in Scripture. We need to know the difference. I'm going to read this quote again from the Decision magazine, then I'm going to close in prayer. Here's the quote. On November 3rd, Americans will choose between two starkly opposing visions for this nation. The implications for Christians are momentous. The outcome will affect the ability of churches and Christian organizations to operate according to biblical teaching and pursue the Great Commission. Friends, we need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for this election. We need to pray for elected officials, whether we agree with them or not. We're instructed to pray for them. But we need to do what we're supposed to do and vote our consciences and what lines up closest with this. Let me say once again, in case you missed the announcements at the beginning, the church will be closed down through this whole week because of an outbreak of COVID-19 that's reached many, many families. Next Sunday, we will once again do our worship just like this, and we will see the following week how the COVID-affected families will are responding, and we will plan accordingly. Please be in prayer for those that are sick even today. Please be in prayer for this election. Please pray for the salvation of this nation and the revival of God's people. I'm going to close in prayer and bid you a good day and a good week. Let's pray. God, our Father, thank you for your word. In it is the truth for our lives. Father, thank you for the instruction that is there. Thank you for the principles that are there. Thank you for the directions that are there. Not only that we need to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and be led by the Holy Spirit, but to live out the teachings of Scripture, to be obedient to your commands and the writings of Scripture, O God. Father, I would pray that as we go to the polls this week, that you would be glorified, that your will would be done. We commit this nation to you, our state to you, our local governments to you, our city governments. We commit it all to you. Father, please, may thy will be done. That's where we're going to leave it, Lord. Sometimes we think we know best. We see what's in Scripture. We believe what lines up with Scripture, according to these people, is the best choice, but we say, thy will be done, O God. And again, I would pray, Heavenly Father, please strengthen and encourage those with COVID-19. Please strengthen and encourage their families. Please guide us through this pandemic. You have blessed us and taken care of us in this entire region for many months. And now it seems like the COVID virus has come and affected lots of us here. Protect our vulnerable, O God. Be with the lonely, the weak, and the hurting, O God. Comfort those even this moment that are struggling and suffering. Strengthen and heal in the name of Jesus, I pray. Go with us this week, Father, not disgruntled and angry and mad. We can't go into the church, or we can't do this or that, but looking for ways to be the hands and feet of Jesus outside of four walls. Use us, O God, even if it's on our phones and computers and telephones. Use us to be an encouragement to others. Use us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And Father, now that we've got this time that's different, and for me and others down, may it be a time we pray. Pray like we've never prayed before. And so bless, encourage, heal, forgive, save, direct, and redirect. May you be glorified, O God. We pray this all in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. God bless you, friends. Have a good rest of this day. It's going to be a nice week. I pray you have a good week. We'll keep communicating to you the best we can. Sunday, next week, we'll do it this way again. We'll see how the future unfolds. God bless you. Have a good day.